Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors.
Yeah.
It's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
All right, guys, welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. You're probably wondering, like, oh, why does Tuttle not have his green screen up? Well, I got a very special interview I recorded over the weekend. I had a chance to speak with Ivan, who lives in Kyiv, which is in the Ukraine. And I sat down and I had, like, I would say about a 40-minute long, maybe almost 50-minute long conversation with Ivan. And I cannot wait for you guys to hear it. I don't even know how it sounds right now. Yeah, it sounds pretty good. So I did that interview. So you guys got about 10 to 15 minutes. If you'd like to, well, you know what? Can't call in because I don't have the Google Voice open. But I do have some stories that I do want to get into. I don't know how I would feel about this, but I got to give this woman credit. Her dad was a complete scumbag. And she showed up to make sure that her dad knew exactly how she felt. If you want to share, tell people, tell your friends, family, loved ones, comment. If you have any comments, I'll be reading your comments in the chat room. And when I'm playing the interview with Ivan, I'm going to be communicating with you guys in the chat room as well, too. So I'll be in there. Not going to just run and hide while I'm playing the interview that I'm going to be doing with Ivan here in just mere moments.
Summers had not seen her dad in 5 years until she stepped into a Tampa courtroom.
And as soon as I walked into the courtroom, he recognized me. He looked me right in the eye, and it was terrifying.
Her dad is defendant Trevor Summers. In March of 2017, Summers is accused of kidnapping his estranged wife, Alisa, and plotting a murder-suicide. Prosecutors say he even tricked his kids into letting him into the house.
What a scumbag. What a scumbag. And, you know, my dad would never, ever, ever have done anything like this, but my God, I don't think I could forgive my dad for something like this if my dad was this type of scumbag. What up, Abraham Dragon Friend, checking in. Don't forget, coming up here in just a few, after I get done with this story, I'm going to be playing my interview with Ivan, who lives in Kyiv, Ukraine. And it was a great conversation that I had.
This was a man I trusted, and this was a man that I thought could do no wrong. And just to know that he used me to do what he wanted to do hurts more than anything.
The last few years, Summers has fired one attorney after the next, after the next. He even forced a judge off his case.
You know, I think a lot of these criminals know how to work the system. Oh, what up, Nedley Mandingo? Meow. How are you, Nedley? I got a great interview I think you're going to enjoy coming up here in just a few minutes here, Nedley, after I get done with this story. Going to be talking to Ivan from the Ukraine. Lives in the capital city of Kyiv.
Claiming bias. Now with a new judge, he is once again asking for a new lawyer, claiming the two just don't see eye to eye when it comes to...
Wait a minute. Hold on. I just saw that in the background. Why is there like a baseball mural in the background? I mean, I'm not complaining, but look at the baseball mural in the background there. What is that all about?
Lawyer claiming the two just don't see eye to eye when it comes to a defense strategy.
He wants to get rid of me. And if it takes representing himself in order to get rid of me, that's what he's willing to do.
And that's exactly what Summers is now doing, representing himself.
Good. Let this asshole burn. Let this just scumbag burn. You put your wife, or well, you killed your wife. You put your children, your child through this. Good. Defend yourself.
The judge allowed.
But you also know what these people are doing, right? He's going to defend himself, and then he's going to come back, and he's going to claim mistrial or wants a retrial because, oh, I'm not a lawyer. I can't defend myself. No, if you are a criminal that decides to defend himself, you can't use that as an excuse. Sorry.
But reminding him it is a risky move.
As a victim, it's a little scary. It's...
Alisa Mathewson is now remarried.
Okay, so he did not kill his wife.
And has been waiting to testify against Summers for years.
Thank you, Your Honor.
She says he's been playing games with the legal system.
Yeah, look at that. And they got him in with the shackles and everything. You can hear him just shaking. I got to figure out what's up with that baseball mural in the background.
System and is up to his old tricks again. She feels she's being re-victimized.
It's a little intimidating. I have a lifetime.
Oh, man. I gotta tell you, not bad looking.
Time protective order against him, and he's going to be right in front of me questioning me about.
Oh, man. I didn't even think about that. This is what the sicko has been planning the whole entire time. He wants to defend himself, so he's the one that gets to get up there and ask questions. He gets to ask questions to the woman he plotted to kill. Ugh. Abraham Dragon Friend, we do get into that. Man, my kid been asking me questions about the safety of the kids in Ukraine and if they are doing word, which is word they use for an active shooter drill. And it's like, fuck, dude, wasn't prepped for that. Yeah. Kids today, especially with all the social media and everything, I can only imagine some of the questions you get asked.
The crimes that he committed against me.
Gloria Gomez, Fox 13 News.
Oh, Gloria coming in there. All right, so I'm going to get into this interview. When I come back after the interview, I got some other things that I'm going to get into. But this is my interview. I cannot thank Ivan enough. I'm going to post all his information in the chat room so you guys can check him out. But Ivan is trilingual, very smart guy. There is a little bit of a language barrier, but I really, really enjoyed the interview and the time that Ivan gave me. In 3, 2, 1. All right, guys. Welcome to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. This is on a Saturday. I'm recording this. It's going to be for my show, but Ivan is on the line with me right now. Ivan, I understand you're actually calling from the Ukraine right now, correct?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So tell my audience a little bit about yourself. I know that you have a YouTube channel. Your Instagram. Tell my audience a little bit about yourself and how they can check out any of the content that you're putting out.
Thanks. So guys, hello, my name is Ivan Zayats. I'm from Ukraine. Currently live here. I currently live in Kyiv. I have my YouTube channel. On this YouTube channel, it's mostly Talking Heads video about Ukraine, about situation, not about war. I don't want to concentrate on war.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some video I have about situation, about propaganda, about emergency or grab and go back, but mostly it's video about our culture, how we live, about our prices and others. And if you want to Google about Ukraine, I don't think that I'm now have a lot of views because I started my channel 3 weeks ago. So if you don't mind, I would send you a link for this channel. And if you could attach it.
Yes, I will definitely do that. So, Ivan, all right. So, let's talk a little bit about the Ukraine. Tell me, you know, a lot of people probably didn't even know exactly, like, if you pulled out a map for Americans and you're like, where's the Ukraine at? they probably could not find it. Tell my audience a little bit about the culture in Ukraine. Like, what is it like? What is the culture like? What type of sports they're into? What's the food like? Just give me a basic overview of some of this, what the culture is like in the Ukraine.
It's fine that a lot of people, no, it's in general, it's fine because you understand, for you, it's quite understandable that Ukraine, it's not part of Russia, because a lot of people, a lot of foreigners with whom I had conversation anytime, sometimes thought that Ukraine is part of Russia, but it's not. So we are so close to Russia, and I suppose that it's the biggest our problem in this fucking life. So we are the biggest country of the East Europe and in general in Europe. So we are close to Poland, Belarus, Russia. So if you know where is Poland, we're close to Poland. If we would talk about our food, it's a lot of food with garlic. We prefer to eat salo. It's like, if you are talking about stereotypes, it's not about, I don't eat salo every day. It's fat from pork, so I prefer to eat
good. Sounds delicious. I love it. Listen, if you look at all the Americans here, Ivan, I mean, you could tell they love their pork. They you know, we're a little bit overweight and unhealthy and stuff. So we eat a lot of pork, bacon. I mean, it's delicious.
Yeah. And if you would mix it with some sauces or with something, it tastes good. So it's more about stereotypes. But regularly, in our regular life, we eat the same stuff as you. We have McDonald's, KFC, burgers, pasta. We prefer to eat more close to European food. It's more, if we're talking about food culture, I suppose that you know that for the last 30 years, we are independent.
I mean, you guys do a lot of wheat. You know, I've heard, like, in Ukraine, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, is that, you know, they're telling the American farmers that they're going to have to start growing more wheat, because I did not know this, that the Ukraine exports a lot of wheat from their country.
Totally. And it's for free, guys. We don't want to land lease or something for it. It's mostly for free for you. I would explain you, because in post-Soviet Union countries, mostly in our speeches in Ukrainian or in Russian or in different countries, we use "my." It's translated like "we." So most of Ukrainians, when we translate, we use "we." But when I communicated with foreigners, they always tell me that, guys, don't use "we." It's so weird.
Well. You know, I was also, my producer was telling me you're trilingual, like you speak three languages.
Yeah, currently it's Russian, Ukrainian, and English now.
How closely relate Russian and you speaking Ukrainian? Is that what you say? I don't want to sound like a dumb American by saying, oh, you speak Ukrainian. Is that the right term?
It's fine. Yeah, you speak Ukrainian.
All right. So how closely related are the two languages? Is there anything that is the same? Because, like, if you look at the romantic languages, you got Italian and Spanish. Some of it's a little similar when it comes to stuff. Is there any similarities?
It's a lot of words in common, first of all. But nowadays, a lot of Russians, they don't want to understand Ukrainian. So mostly, if we would sit in one room, maybe Russians and Ukrainians, In general, I would understand everything what they said, because in some regions in Ukraine, Ukrainians use, our citizens use Russians a lot.
I was going to ask that, because here in the United States, okay, I have a Southern accent, you know, because I live in the South in the United States. And then that's a great thing I like about the United States is that it's so big, but you can tell, usually tell where somebody is from, what region in the United States, by their accent. Is there something like that in the Ukraine? Like, could you tell, like, oh man, he's Northern Ukraine, he's Southern, he might be from the East or the West?
Yeah, you're totally right. If we are talking about Ukrainian language, because in East part of Ukraine, we use some words, special words. In West part, it's more Ukrainian part of Ukraine. But now I suppose that totally all Ukraine speak Ukrainians now in this situation. So yeah, we have this dialects, or I suppose that it's dialects. It's called.
So how old of a guy are you, Ivan?
28.
You're 28. Now, so what do you do for work? Like, besides, you know, doing this, what are you doing to make money and stuff?
Great question. Till 21st of February, because when Russia started all this full invasion, and currently now, but I don't have clients now, I was an event host. I'm professional MC, so it's one of my main job. It's like you have to host weddings, wedding ceremonies, corporate parties, private parties, happy birthday, and all this stuff.
Are you a married guy?
Yep. You saw it, yeah.
Yeah. How long you been married for?
Less than 1 year.
I gotta tell you, I don't know what it is, though, but why it just seems like the Eastern European women are just gorgeous. Like, I don't know what it is. It's just like, because I you know, I've been paying more attention, because look, I'll admit, Americans, we only care about ourselves sometimes. And you know, like, whenever you're seeing all this stuff going on, you want to research more, you want to find out more about what's going on in the news and stuff. And I was like, oh my god, the Ukrainian women are gorgeous. Like, I'm sure that, you know, there might not be some, but I'm just saying, it just, I, like, every single one I'm seeing is like, holy crap, I need to go to the Ukraine.
You asked me, it's one of the stereotype about, and it's good stereotype about Ukraine. I don't know how it's connected with that I'm married. So in general, yeah, it's like this, if I understand you correctly, it's a question about my age, my wife, and that I got married, or what?
No. Well, the question is, I'm sorry. You got to remember, I have ADHD. My brain goes all over the place.
It's fine. It's the same stuff.
but I was just asking, though, like, all right, so here in the United States and stuff, like, you know, men think, oh, you know, what is it like? What is, like, courting a woman, dating a woman? What is that like? Is there any difference? Like, okay, here, you know, here in the United States, you know, you're supposed to go ask the father for their daughter's hand in marriage and stuff. Is there like, what is dating life like in the Ukraine?
I suppose we are close to. I know that I totally know that you use Tinder and all these social medias.
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
So we have the same stuff, and a lot of people start their relationships via Tinder, we have Instagram, and it's quite popular now. During the war, Tinder, it's awesome platform to have not only relationships.
Man, your dogs, you got it. Your dogs are those your dogs on your Instagram page?
Yeah, if you want to, I could invite him.
Yeah. I mean, that would be great. I mean, but the architecture in some of your pictures as well, too, man, like, it's really, really beautiful place, Kyiv.
Could you show me if you
It was this picture right here.
Yeah, it's today. It's during the war now.
Does it bother you? Well, of course it bothers you, because when I look at what's been done to some of the buildings and the destruction, I know, like, the most important thing is, you know, the loss of life that's happened, but then you look at what's being done to the cities and stuff, and it's just like, man, it's like, who is, I mean, it's going to take a lot of rebuilding, and all those older buildings and stuff are just absolutely getting just destroyed. And that's besides the loss of life and stuff, the buildings and the culture and the history getting destroyed all through this happening.
And yeah, it's one of the problem I think now, that we would have to rebuild everything, because a lot of cities now devastated a lot at all. So you don't want to know what people could eat, how they could hide, because now, for example, I'm hiding in my apartment, but now we have air attack. Now, currently in Kyiv, we have application to control air attacks.
Yeah. All right. I was going to ask that, okay? I know that Kyiv was at one time getting just bombarded. Then it died down a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then so it's ramping up more now?
It's less than it was maybe 2 months ago, when maybe you heard about Bucha and all these cities close to Kyiv, because the cities were occupied and a lot of people were killed and raped, and it's horrible. And I don't know how to speak about it, because it's horrible.
I mean, yeah, and if there's anything you don't feel comfortable, I completely understand. You know, through this tough time right now, people still got to get out and do things. People got to do something to take their minds off of what's going on right now, because it's nonstop. You need some type of normalcy, which I know has got to be hard. Do people go out? Do people, like, try to get outside, do things? Are you seeing other Ukrainians helping each other through this tough time?
First of all, if you don't mind, I divide this question on two parts.
Yeah,
first, about going out. Yeah, now it's quite safe. If you could, if you want to go out to drink coffee, eat burger, walking around with your dog, it's fine. But if you hear, we have special, like I told you before,
air
I mentioned
sirens.
It, we have special application. It calls air alarm. Mm-hmm. So if you heard this on the street, or you have a notification from this application, you have to hide in a shelter. So this time it's not so comfortable to walk in around or be outside. So yeah, now our businesses, some businesses started to work. I'm talking about cafe, restaurants, maybe some glove, I don't know, delivery, food delivery, started all this stuff. But I miss so much McDonald's, because McDonald's currently closed in Ukraine now.
Yeah, so is food and water and stuff hard to find right now? Or
no,
it's not.
It's but I'm talking about Kyiv. I want to mention it's so
other places
tough.
Are worse. Other places are way worse.
For example, my mom, she currently live in Chernihiv. It's close. It's 100, maybe 30 kilometers from Kyiv. and it's close to Russia. And this town was in a circle of Russian army. So now they didn't have public transport. They have problems with water. So you could imagine that a lot of people, that city was bombed. A lot of people now are homeless. So it's a horrible situation if we are talking not about Kyiv, but these regions close to Russia that was occupied of war or were in a circle, they have some problems. And we divided question about going out, and you ask something else. And
Keeping yourself entertained, you know, because you do need distractions. You need something because it's not good for your mental health to just nonstop, like, seeing things. You know, here in the United States, we just had that devastating mass shooting that was in Texas. I don't know. Are you guys getting news and stuff? Like, you are.
No, but not so detailed news, but the main news from the United States, we have on our TV channels, on our messengers, Facebook. But I suppose that in your state, somebody shoot somebody. Yeah. We wouldn't have this news.
It was, we had an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah, I heard about this. He killed.
Yeah, he killed 19 elementary school kids. They were like 9 and 10 years old, man. And it's just like, you see that so much stuff on the news, and people will watch it. It does kind of like eat at you, your mental health and stuff. And I can't even imagine what you guys are going through right now. And you need those type of distractions.
It's a Rob Elementary School. I find this news. Yeah, I have read this, and it's horrible that. You know, for today, for example, Russian bombed Kharkiv, its Ukrainian city, and maybe 10 people died. And every day we see these photos because all our Instagram pages like have news, and we see all these photos that you know, you have to click see photo because it's restriction, because you are not allowed to watch. Instagram tried to protect you from this photo. And sometimes I'm scrolling through my stories, and I see all stories with this protection. And it's so tough for you. Yeah, and you have to have this distraction from reading news, because we have a lot of news now from east part of Ukraine, where our army protect our territory, and it's horrible.
And all right, so I don't want to spend all the time on that, because I want to learn more about the country. Before all this stuff happened, First Amendment right? Like, do you guys, I shouldn't say First Amendment, freedom of speech. Is that limited at all in the Ukraine?
We are talking about, could I say something against our president?
Yeah.
It's my favorite topic to speech, because I used to be in Moscow, but it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and they were so surprised that in our country we could have a protest against the president, and our police would control it. It's like, okay, you are protesting, it's your opinion. So we are totally, you could say whatever you think.
Okay.
If I don't like Zelensky, okay, fuck Zelensky.
What is your thoughts of Zelensky, President Zelensky? I mean, I know that we see a lot of things in the news. It's always good stuff. What is your thoughts on him? Good guy? Has he done anything wrong beforehand? What are some of your thoughts?
I suppose that, first of all, if you don't know, maybe 95% now of Ukrainians support Zelensky in Ukraine.
I think he's doing from what we've seen, it's like this guy is out there in the middle of things. He is out there. The guy doesn't look like he's slept that much lately either. And I can't blame him, but he just seems like he really, really cares. Here in the United States, our president would not do that. Our president wouldn't be doing half the things that Zelensky's doing right now, from what I've seen.
You know, one of his pros in all this situation, that he wasn't in the politics before he became a president.
Mm-hmm.
The president. So he behaved like you and me. So if mm-hmm. you understand that you have to protect, it's if you are talking about me and you,
yeah.
if you
mm-hmm.
know that you have to protect your family, you would protect your family. It doesn't matter how you would do it. You would take a gun and shoot your enemies.
Yes.
Zelensky behaved the same situation. He thinks not like he thinks, yeah, like politician, but mm. mostly he behaved like you and me, like regular person. He's not think about relationships with France, Germany, or other countries. He asked for help. If you need help, you would ask for help. So for me, it's a good president for now, and mostly a lot of people, because my parents, they didn't vote for him on
yeah.
the last election, but now they are for him for 100%. And they support, because mostly young generation voted for Zelensky.
Yeah. So look, can all right. So back to, you know, the big debate here in our country is you know, we have the Second Amendment here, you know, the right to carry a gun and do stuff like that. What was that like in your country before this invasion? Like, could you own a gun? Could you, like, you can?
Like, if you want to have a gun, you have to have some special restriction or
yeah.
paper.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to call it.
A permit. Yeah, like a permit.
Sorry, yeah.
yeah.
Permit
mm-hmm.
for a gun. So, mostly, a lot of people have guns if you have this permit.
Yeah.
For example, I didn't have, and I don't have now. But we have special application from our government when, and maybe 2 or 3 days ago, our government started special survey for, and people from the whole Ukraine voted in this application. What do you think about carry guns? Is it fine or not? So, and now maybe 67% of Ukrainians support to carry guns,
mm-hmm.
not machine guns. You would allow to have gun
mm.
if you have special permit, and but it's quite easy to have this permit.
Yeah. Do you still like? All right. So do you know anybody personally that has taken up arms to go fight?
Yep. It's a lot of my friends, and it's. Tough, because, you know, for example, I like improvisation, and yesterday with my friends we had special event stand up plus improvisation. So we created stand up comedy
mm-hmm.
for Ukraine in Kyiv, and we collected donates for Ukrainian army.
Mm-hmm.
So, and yesterday I wrote in our chat, like, guys, are you ready? Everything is fine. And one of the guy wrote, like, guys, I'm sorry, I'm in the
militia, like, you know, like,
it's on the teachings, manoeuvres, like,
yeah, mm-hmm.
you understand me, exercises,
yeah, mm-hmm.
teachings. So he wasn't with us because now currently he's in Ukrainian army. And a lot of friends, one of my friends, he's currently close to Dnipro and Donetsk region. And 1 month ago, we collected money for a car for their battalion. So a lot of people that you know that currently fight for Ukraine?
What do most Ukrainians or people of Ukraine, what is their opinion on the United States? Do they think that they're doing enough to help, or even before this? What did people think of Americans, you know, before this whole thing started?
Yes, let's talk about in general what people think about Americans. In Ukraine, we have many people think about it. We call it American dream.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people in Ukraine think that it's a great idea to live in the United States because it's country where you would have everything. It's like American dream. And they thought that all Americans would give a warm welcome to Ukrainians because they are here. But it's not true. You have to do something to these Americans or to this country to be part of this country. Mm-hmm. So I have never had this American dream. But about attitude, most of the people think that America, I'm not good in politician, but as for me, guys, America supported Ukraine a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's I understand the United States have some interests in this city, in this this city.
Yes, we do. Because we did this during the Cold War against Russia. Like there's this thing called mutual destruction. You know, everybody's worried about nuclear war and stuff, and we have never ever you know, you got the big powers, you got Russia, you got America, you got China, and let's throw India in there. You got like the UK that are nuclear powers and stuff. And the thing is that Russia and United States have never gone like head to head. It's never been Russia versus United States. We've always fought proxy wars. We've always fought proxy wars where we will give arms to other countries. We'll give arms to, like we did it with the Taliban, or not Taliban, but in Afghanistan. We armed them to the brim with missiles and guns and tanks and stuff. And it all came back to bite us in the ass. It really did, because we gave a bunch of weapons because we were like, all right, go after the Russians. And I kind of feel like we're not it's different, but we're giving arms to Ukraine. We're helping them fight because we have an interest in it. we do, because I would think that we're helping for the good of it, to help the people, but I think our country has ulterior motives. I think that they're helping out because, man, this is our chance to weaken Russia right now.
But let's glance on this situation from regular Ukrainian.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it doesn't matter who would help us to fuck Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the UK, Poland, Litva, and different European countries support Ukraine.
And we should.
And it's fine, because for me, okay, you have some interest, but now for 2022, I live during the war, but I don't want to leave Ukraine. Mm-hmm. I want to live here, and I want to build, and I want that my children will be here. Mm-hmm. And I want to say, be safe. But, and it's like, for a reason, it doesn't matter who would support my country now. We would realize what would happen on the next 10 years. Okay, it would be in the next 10 year, but now let's talk about 2022.
I agree. Need
support.
I agree, but I'm just telling you, as an American, we only do things that interest us. Okay, because here, I'll give you an example. there are so many other countries and stuff that could have used our help. But guess what? We did not help them because it did not, like, it was, it didn't benefit us in any way. Do you see what I'm saying? I think the average everyday American citizen would love the help. They would. Okay. There's a lot of people in this country, Ivan, that are bitching about the money we're actually sending to the Ukraine. You do know that, right? Like,
yeah,
there is some people because they're like, oh man, we're hurting over here. Why are we giving 40 billion or 100 billion? Why are we sending all this stuff when we got problems here in our country and stuff? You know, I think it's bad. And plus 40 billion, 100 billion is like throwing a deck chair off the Titanic. Okay. I mean, it's nothing for the United States, in my opinion.
And in general, if we are talking about war, it's nothing for war, because 40 million, you would allow to buy maybe, I don't know, prices for offensive weapons, but yes. I suppose that it costs a lot. But last point about your statement that Russia support, the U.S. support Ukraine and they have some interest in it. You know, it's quite better that you have, it's quite better to live under the U.S. Mm-hmm. than live under the Russia.
I agree.
And Russian propaganda use it a lot that we are
it's Nazis, you know, they say the denazification of the Ukraine. Are there hateful groups in the Ukraine?
No, I suppose maybe you don't know, but on regular election, not Nazi or patriotic, we call it patriotic parties can't reach more than 5% of votes.
Yeah.
5%. They can't reach 5%.
So it's not a lot of people then.
It's 5% of Ukrainians. If we could calculate it, 45. It was 45 million. It's.
Man, that's a sad statement.
2 million.
I mean, I don't know if you realize that, but what you just said kind of like hit me a little hard, because you were doing the calculations and you said it was 45 million.
It's a huge problem now, you know, but it's not about war, because it's not about dead people. You know that in 2014, Russia occupied Crimea, mm-hmm. Russia occupied Donetsk and Lugansk. So we lost some part of our territories. For example, on Crimea lived and live more, maybe close to 1 million people. Donetsk and Lugansk region, close to 2 million people. So we lost this territory, and with this territory, yeah, we lost some
the people. Do you got any Russian friends, like people you know in Russia, yeah, and have you been able to talk to them since all of this?
I had, if we are talking about normal conversation, not like some. I'm not huge a fan of arguing in comments or via messengers or something. As for me, I had three conversations. First one of my colleagues from Russia asked me, like, "Do you hate me?" And he asked me. It's on the second day of the war. And I answered him, "Are you kidding me? You know, man, I have a lot of bigger problems than hate you or not. I want to protect my family." It's stupid. Are you hate me? Mm-hmm. Okay. Next conversation was with my friend from Russia. And he wrote me maybe 2 weeks ago. And he wrote me a message like, "Ivan, I don't know how to write you because it was some nervous period for me, but it's horrible what our president does for your country. I'm really sorry for it." And he wrote it.
Yeah.
And the last conversation, it was with man who want to look like not fan of Putin, but he is, because he wrote me this, like, he wrote me a message like, you know, that is propaganda from your part and from our part, and it's our bad guys try to kill your bad guys. And hey man, oh gosh, you're killing our people, you're destroy our towns and cities. Where is bad people? How this grandma or grandpa died after your missiles? How they were part of this Nazism or what?
Are you a big football fan, soccer?
You want to interrupt me about
No. I want to keep it fun also as well. You know, like my dad, you know, before he passed away, he always talked about, you know, you don't ask soldiers, you don't ask people about really bad stuff unless they want to talk about it. And I'm trying to be, you know, compassionate. You know, I don't want you to think like, oh, the only reason I'm having this Ivan guy on is because he's from the Ukraine and stuff. But the reason I bring that up is that Ukraine actually has a chance. They might make it to the World Cup. I mean, you guys won Eurovision. Hell yeah. Eurovision. but so, cause I'm a big football fan as well too. I think that would be humongous. You know, I think it would be huge. I think it would be uplifting. I think it would be something. We talked about distractions earlier in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see them make it so badly. I think it would be amazing. And if they won, they would be in the same group as the United States in the World Cup. And I just think that would be so awesome to see.
You know, when I saw this group, because I watched all these Qatar 2022 qualifies and all this, not raffle, it's like semi, when they...
They all have different qualifications between confederations and stuff. But you know, I thought it was great that they told Russia to pound sand. They're not even allowed in it. They took away the Champions League final. Thought that was amazing. They're taking the Chelsea Football Club away from that Russian oligarch as well too. I think that's great, but I think they got to play Wales. I think if they beat Wales, they'll get in, because they let them push the game back. This is like the first World Cup where they had ever, like, they did the draw, but they don't know who's going to be in it until the later on. And I thought that was great.
And when I saw this group, it's United States, UK, England, and
England,
and the last
Iran. I think it's Iran.
Yeah, and we had some funny conversation about this Qatar 2022. If Ukraine would qualify to the group and would play with the United States, if we lose, it would be like, guys, thank you. This is for you. Thank you. What are you doing for us? It's all for you. The same situation with UK. Guys, it's all for you. Thanks. Thanks, Boris Johnson. Have a warm welcome. And with Iran, we could draw.
I don't know. It that's why I like it so much. I'm not too happy about it being in Qatar, though. There's a lot of things you can't do there. You can't be gay in that country. You know, you can't show, like, if they're, you know, you know that there's got to be gay players in soccer. They're gonna feel unwelcome. You know, FIFA is all about love, peace, and being united and stuff. And I just don't understand how they ended up getting the World Cup in the first place. Well, it's all money. That's exactly why they got it. So what would this is another question I had. So you're still living in Kiev. What would it take? how bad would it have to get for you to leave?
To leave Ukraine?
Yeah, to get out of safety, because that's what I'm trying to say. I mean, how bad would it have to get, like, for you to decide to get your wife, get your dogs, and get out of there?
Maybe, I don't know, maybe you don't have it in use, but you know that now, man, we are not allowed to leave Ukraine.
You can't.
We can't leave Ukraine, all men, because we are like, we could be called from our military and we could be part of our army. But for somebody, maybe you would try to get away from the country because the reason it's army and you don't want to be in the army. So mostly if you're from 16, if you're from, sorry, from 18 till 60, you have to be in the country during the war.
I mean, yeah, I mean, look, I would not look here in America. Like, we used to have a draft, like you would have to sign. Well, you still have to when you become 18, you got to sign up for selected service just in case something really bad happens. Then they got record of who they need to get or not. But would I want to go? But if it got bad enough, you know what? See, that's the thing about it. That's one thing I don't think America will ever have to deal with. Because, I mean, we got some of the best piece of land. We're guarded by seas on both sides. The people north and south of us, we're pretty cool with. But I don't know. I don't think United States would ever get invaded. I can't imagine living in a country and having it be invaded. Like, you would, though. Like, as a citizen, you got to protect your homeland. And it's like some of the stuff I'm seeing on the news, it's just like bravery. I don't even know if it's bravery. It's just love for your country.
It's love for your country. It's brave. You're totally right. And I'm super agree with you. And last point, it's hate. I suppose that all Ukrainians are so Russophobic. And it's not like bad Russophobic, it's good Russophobic. Because could you imagine that your friends are died from Russians? And could you imagine that you wanna kill all of these troops and Russians because they invaded and they try to set their rules and laws in this country? But we are independent for the last 30 years. We are not Soviet Union country.
What is the one thing that you want to tell people that are watching this? Because this is going to be an audio podcast that people can download. And this is also a video podcast. And before we go, I'm going to give you the floor. Whatever you want to say before we go. And then I want to promote all of your stuff before we go as well, too.
Thanks. Guys, I didn't prepare something special for you. I want to say thank you for your podcast. I want to say thank you all Americans who support my country, because we need it now. And if you could support, donate or something, do it please only on official websites. Don't be part of somebody who gonna scam you or something. So be protected. Thank you for United States. Be safe. Love your family. And in the end of the of everything, I like to say it. Don't forget about your moms, dad, and your parents. If you have time, have a call. You're listening to this podcast. Click on the pause. Call your mom or dad, your family, grandma, grandpa. Say them, I love you. And that's all. Because we don't wanna when we would pass away.
Man, you know, I was going to say it's funny, but it's not. Yesterday was the 1 year of me losing my dad. And yeah, that hit pretty hard, man. And you're absolutely right. You don't know how much time you have with people and stuff. You really don't.
First of all,
hey, thank you, man. I mean, you never completely, you know, get over it. It gets better, but you're absolutely right. You don't know how much time you have with people, and you should. You should call them every single day. I think all Americans, the best way that they can support after this is all done, after you guys win and you got your, you know, country all to yourself, I think all Americans need to go there once things start getting rebuilt. Tourism to the Ukraine, people visiting. I think bringing American dollars into the country to go to restaurants, support them, businesses, and everything like that. I think it would be amazing.
We have a good service, so guys, please welcome. If you don't want to know something about our restaurants, and we give you a warm welcome, so please welcome. You could write me if you want to know something more about apartments, some short. I would be your guide for 1-2 hours, so please welcome.
I think that would be amazing. I'm going to get all your links and I'm going to put it in the description of the show so people can find it. Ivan, I got to tell you, man, you're a good dude. I mean, in your 20s, but I guess going through what you're going through right now makes you be more mature, be more like somebody that is responsible. Because I got to tell you, in my 20s, I was the most irresponsible person in the world. I did a lot of dumb shit back in the day. So you're a really good dude, man. And if you ever need anything at all, you feel free to reach out. I would love to help in any way that I can.
Thanks, man. It's so so cute to say, and thank you.